Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Monday afternoon here in the Danger Studios. I'm joined with Ciro Dobrik.
Welcome.
And that's right. Welcome to the show. And a little rainy day. I'm home. I don't know how I'm going to feel today. I got a little bit of a weird toothache. I think I grind my teeth at night. And I think I'm taking chunks out of my wisdom teeth. It's starting to fall apart like the Antarctic shelf.
Which is definitely happening.
Yeah, I think my teeth, my wisdom teeth, are doing their own impersonation of I have global warming in my mouth. I think I got global warming in my mouth.
I was wondering how you're going to do that.
Yeah.
It's global warming. It's climate change.
That's right. Chris Gorgeous and I last week got into debate on, you know, I believe it's getting hot. I mean, there's no denying that, but the real question is what is causing it?
Right.
Is it solely man? Is it the universe itself? Or is it a combination of the two? You know, that's still out there. You know what I mean?
I believe that we don't not affect it, but I don't think we have the majority effect on what's going on with the entire universe.
Yeah, I there's so much shit that's going on. You know, we could be passing, the sun could just be getting a little bigger, you know? The sun could just be getting a little
more solar flares.
Yeah,
you know?
All I know is, either way, it doesn't matter, it's happening. You know, like anything that happens, I'm not concerned with how it's happening, why it's happening, because I don't think, I think the real thing that people that are on this side, let's say a certain side of global warming, is that what can we really do? And you would hope that we are always striving for the best ways to make things cleaner, make things safer. I think as a society, we've always done that. The big problem is that there's too many fucking people. I mean, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what governments do anymore. It's what the individual does. When an individual gets done eating a fucking hamburger and when he throws the piece of paper on the side of the road, I don't want to hear about your global warming theory.
Right. That doesn't.
There's a certain level of like if everybody in the world, every person living today, was stricken with ethics, like if God struck everybody on earth with a lightning bolt and we all just all of a sudden had character, honesty, integrity, was like, imagine what would happen.
That's biblical right there.
I mean, it would be like that movie with Jim Carrey, right? When he speaks on it, his kid wishes he'd always speak, and he comes out and he's a lawyer and he's telling the truth about everything.
Liar, liar.
I mean, it's not like you have to tell the truth all the time. But I'm just saying, but imagine if that would happen, you know, like China, the companies in China that are just sitting there producing, you know, they would actually worry about putting a filter on the smokestack.
You would think so. But that's probably part of the argument that we're having, too.
Right.
Is, you know, we're all for doing something good for the environment, of course.
Right.
But if not everybody's going to play a part in the game.
Right.
What are we doing here?
Now, it seems that Trump, when his visit to France, that he's basically saying, look, there's something we could probably, like, he backed out of that accord, but that's not saying that he wouldn't enter into something new, right?
Something that's fair, something that works.
Well, and then make everybody else is going to, maybe it tangles in with the trade and everything like this. Maybe we all figure out the big picture.
Maybe he just didn't like the name of it.
Yeah.
Paris Agreement.
Craig Henney is comments Dumb and Dumber. Craig, I don't know. Are you referring to us, Craig? Because you know, I mean, you're coming from a guy. You know, again, you know, Craig says, "Why do you always say mean things to me?" I'm like, dude. I mean, Every interaction I've had with you has been sarcastic and snarky.
Look at all the Chinese junk on your desk, Dougie.
Right.
I know. Which is made out of, apparently, sand, so it's all going to go back to the earth.
Yeah.
Plastic.
That's what I'm going to worry about, what my tchotchkes are made of, you know? By the way, one of those are a Beckham. When he was with Manchester United, I bought like dozens of them, and I paid like $20 for them. Now I sell them for $22.
Well, I just noticed that there are two samurai warriors. Was that a racist flick?
Yeah, that was. Oddly enough, the samurai guys were made here in Phoenix. Dumb and Dumber. No. The movie. He's an attorney.
Liar, liar.
That's the one. Liar, liar.
Bruce Almighty was a great one, too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's almost like healthcare. If everybody was worried about how healthy they were, you know, the insurance costs would be affordable. We would have affordable healthcare if kids would stop beating fucking go wraps, you know, or snack pockets or whatever the fuck they are.
Fruit by the foot.
Or cheese, you know? I mean, if you want, things are not that tricky. If you want affordable healthcare, the people of this country have to be health conscious. It means exercise. That means daily activities. That means trying to balance a meal.
It means loving yourself.
But if you're never eating, if you're not even eating with your family, you're running around, you're eating a burrito at a 7-Eleven, you're doing this, and you come in, I want health care.
As you smoke a cigarette.
Right. Right, a big old, you know, shoot up some heroin. Anyway. Here's what I want to talk about as we open the show. And it's going to be weird. We're going to do two segments, right? We're going to change it up because we need to do an hour show if we want to have more time on Bub Army Radio. And you know what? We need to do an hour show. I want to keep it to an hour.
Right.
So we end up doing an hour and 15 minutes or so that just goes, you know.
We can combine those last two segments into one big one.
We're going to go about 25, 28 minutes a segment, take a little break, and then come back and give you the news and stuff. But you saw the video of Pablo Francisco?
I did not. I just read the story.
Now, as a comic, you have to feel for this guy because, first of all, there's nothing, as a comedian, a working comic, there's nothing worse than something going wrong at a show when you're at a venue you're being paid to be at. And, you know, right, that's the first thing as a comic I felt. Now, the video, if you haven't seen it, he's whacked.
Really?
And he must have, I think by the video it said that he had fallen off the stage.
Jeez.
The MC, this guy named Steve, had to help him back up, and he was up there on stage with him. And, you know, Pablo was like, I'm going to finish this. And he kept going to his Arnold impression. You know, get down, you know.
Right.
Did his movie voice. And he kept going, hold on, I can save this. And the mic, the cord comes out of the mic.
So just debacle.
It's a debacle one after the other. He's insisting on being on stage. Because, you know, he's trying to save it. Like, even his comments are like, see if I could turn this around. And he keeps going back, I'm back, you know, get down. He went back to that a few times.
Sometimes you just need to look around and go, should I go? Should I stop?
Yeah.
Sad.
Now, you know, and Pablo Francisco was basically, at one point, one of the highest paid comics in the country when it came to his gigs and everything, working the improvs and stuff like that. That's obviously been taken
his
over by Russell Peters.
His bits were legendary before people started using the voiceover thing
that
he was doing. I mean, he did that.
See, it was his thing. But, so, you know, you see something like this, and, you know, you can't, like, I was working this weekend at Snappers. It was the first time I got the headline. And I got to tell you, it's nice when you get a check at the end of the weekend. And you're like, wow, I made money, you know, as opposed to just featuring. Where, you know, you're like, all right, I paid for my air ticket. I paid for my, you know.
They let me come here and have a good time.
Yeah. I get to do what I get to do. It's like instead of paying for school, instead of paying for a comedy school, I'm actually going out and getting on stage and working it out and doing it. And by the way, everybody at Snappers was great. Packed houses. Thursday night was packed. You know, Friday was packed. The early show, the Saturday show was low. But we had
good shows though.
Let me tell you something. Friday night, dude. I wish I had recorded it. It was, you know what I mean. Anybody who's there will you know, if I had bombed the other four shows and just had that late Friday show,
it would have been worth it.
I would still expect to be called back. It was just, we had a guy in there that is like, he couldn't speak, you know, and I'm like, you know, it makes some reverend people going nuts laughing. And I asked him, I said, how long have you been smoking cigarettes? Like, I don't smoke. And I'm like, well, what do you do? Swallow lit charcoals or something? What are you, a fucking fire eater? You've been
just
going down on
started flowing right out of it.
Yeah, you've been going down on Kathleen Zeta Jones. It was a lot of fun, and it's a great place, and go visit it. And it was kind of nerve wracking too, because one of my clients had come out, you know, like my day job client, and you know I had that, you know, she's like they're a church going couple, and she goes, no, we're not pervert, you know, we're not prudes. You know, we know it's a comedy show, and I'm like, oh, now I'm nervous. And what the club sits them right in the front. They're literally sitting right in the front.
And you have to watch them as you're defiling words.
I'm guessing I'm a cleaner comic than I even think, because even the feature, Trish, had mentioned to me after the first night or the first show Friday, she goes, you know, you want me to be a little cleaner? Because I notice you really don't curse. And I said, really? I didn't? I didn't even notice.
Well, it's different. When you have full jokes, you don't need to throw in the fillers.
Yeah.
You know, the shock words.
Right. But it was great. And then Saturday, early show was packed. We had a great show and everything. And the only thing that was bad was that the only thing, like even me, see, I'm thinking, what could have went wrong and ruined things? Mm. Like there was one night I parked in the front, and the owner of the club says, listen, if you don't mind, next time just park. Don't worry about it now. But and the, I go, okay, cool. I didn't know. I'm thinking, oh, can you imagine? Like, that guy doesn't park in the back. You know, never bring him back. You know, you worry about stupid shit.
Absolutely.
But
you have to.
But, you know, so then here on the late show on Saturday, there was a bachelorette party, which as a comic, you know, anytime there's a bachelorette party at your show, it
could go either way.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh.
You know you're going to be interrupted at least once.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you are not the star of the show in this night. You know what I mean? And so you got to figure out a way to bring them in the thing and kind of involve them, right? Get them part of the show, and you have fun with that, of course. But, you know, they actually, like 25 minutes into my set, they ended up, you know, slowly just all getting up, like 15 of them, which was basically the middle of the room.
So
like
just...
It's like a long table, you know, just basically started leaving in their blue shirts. And I was like, well, I think I'm kind of getting a standing ovation. That's... You know what I mean? I think I'm kind of getting a standing ovation and walking away ovation. But you know, the manager says, no, it was clear they had a time schedule. They had to get the fuck out. They had like a limo waiting outside.
It would have been better if it was just one big group of ovation. And we're like, we're done. We can't.
Yeah. Sorry. We got to go. Thanks. Can't. Thanks. You just made it. Thanks for all leaving at the same time. The club's never going to book me again. Thanks. No. Good luck with your wedding.
No, our jaws hurt. And
right.
Not from the comedy show.
Hmm. But that was cool. So, you know, you, as a comic, you always worry about that. Now, obviously, you got a guy like that who's been around. He's like, you know, listen, at this point, right? Pablo Francisco.
Oof.
You know, is that something that could crush his career? Is that something that could keep a club from booking him?
Yes.
Right?
At this point, for sure.
Yeah, until a club, you think a club will say, look, we need to know, you know, you got to tell us what's going on or let us know what you're doing about it.
He might have to sign a waiver now saying that, you know, he can't party till after a show or
you think it'd be harsh if a comedy club said to him, hey, listen, here's the contract. If for any reason something happens on your part where you can't make the show, you owe us X amount of, you know, for the weekend. You got to put skin in the game. Yeah,
you know,
I don't know.
That's when you know you really effed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just totally, you're the trust that people place in you to be
right.
A comedian in the first place, you know, when you have to put different sections in a contract just to make sure you don't get too wasted or do something wrong.
Well, you know, in the past, like the little gig I run at Tavolino's, I've had comics that may or may not make it to the show. At times, so I basically booked as a co-headline, let's say.
Okay.
You know, just to defend or protect myself. Or I would have somebody, I'd say, look, I don't know what you're doing, but if you're ever going to be available that Wednesday night, if you don't mind being close by.
Right.
You know what I mean? I
almost like an on-call comic.
Or like even have somebody just come to watch the show, and if anything happened, just, you know, maybe, you know, give them free dinner and stuff just for coming out and being around, throw them a 20 or something, make it fair.
Yeah, make, well, you know, covering your ass is the name of the game in when you're running a show like that.
Right. Any rate, so I don't know, man. I feel bad for the guy, and you know, and they took him away in an ambulance, and you know, but I keep, you know, the big story that we have in this country is this opiate
fiasco,
and you know, everybody. Now, here's what I thought was interesting today is that now people basically there's a group of attorneys, of course, bloodsuckers that want to get together and delve into the pockets of the pharmaceutical companies because it's their fault.
That's needle chasers.
You know, here's the thing again. Let's say how that rounds up to affordable health care. If it, you know, forget about any president's medical plan.
Well, he put
one of the biggest costs to health care is to cover the litigation of all these lawsuits and these things that are going after the, and just of that nonsense. Now, recently there has been restrictions on how much, you know, wrongful deaths and accident, you know, there's been a restriction on what people can collect,
right?
Just so they can control the levels of insurance costs. You know, but there's doctors that have to pay up to $300,000 in malpractice insurance a year just to have a practice.
Well, it's sad because, you know, one little known fact is the biggest killer is not drugs, ODing, things like that. It's actually dying in a hospital for the wrong treatment.
Right.
You know, someone getting their left arm cut off when they had a big X on the right arm. You know, it's just
right.
Things like that, the malpractice of it, and that adds the cost to it. And that in itself, don't get me wrong, the ODing and everything else is a horrible, horrible mm-hmm. aftermath of...
Yeah, you'd imagine.
Bad litigation.
But, you know, either way. So these are just other things, and they were trying to go after these people, blame, as opposed to just blaming the fucking person who just can't... Now, you know, I had back surgery when I was like 21. I had two herniated discs, had sciatica pain, so I had back surgery at a young age. And, you know, I got the Vicodins, I got a lot of that shit. And, you know... And I have people in the family that have suffered addictions to opiates and pills and whether it was Quaaludes right. or whatever, the pain pill. And I could tell you that whether that was my inspiration for not falling into that trap or just the fact that I realized it's a potential trap and I'm not going to let myself be tempted by it, you know, I wouldn't even want to take aspirin at times. That's why I have a pretty high pain threshold when it comes to, like, my knees, you know,
right.
everything hurting. Unless I'm really hurt, I'm not going to take something.
Because you know inside your head maybe something like this could happen to where you like it too much. I had a friend in California, you know. You don't think that it's as bad as it is.
Right.
And then when it hits rock bottom and they say, yeah, well, I owe the guy $8,000. Well, wow. What?
Yeah.
At like $50, didn't you think, well, maybe I think I'm getting in over my head.
Yeah. By the way, thanks, Craig. Craig Henney, tort reform was what was passed several years ago. To keep the control on the what you can sue these for medical malpractice types of awards. Well, listen, again, I have a buddy who's an attorney that does that, and I used to sit down in mediations as I would be the person who'd be investing the proceeds
right.
For the group. But it's interesting when they go to mediations and they try to negotiate. You look at the life expectancy of the person, what actually happened.
All the factors
yeah.
involved.
Yeah. I sat in on a mediation at one point where the person died in a prison, in a hospital in the prison, and it was obvious negligence,
right?
But they didn't get much money because this person had been crack, had been arrested a few times. Like, well, how long does this person really actually have to live?
Yeah, their record.
Yeah, so persons. Somewhat of your existing procedure, your essence. I'm just saying. Anyway,
well, that's getting 1984-ish though, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's Monday. By the way, speaking of it's Monday, I'm going to be out in Palm Beach at Scores tonight. Mike Vecchione's headlining Scores Comedy Night, Jen Hellman's venue. Ladies and Laughs or Laughs and Ladies. I don't remember what it's called, but it's at Scores. So if it's, you know, all you need to know is you got to Google or put on navigation Scores in West Palm Beach. Showtime's 8:30. Mike Vecchione's a headliner. Then Kerry Wayne's on the show and some other people. But I'm going to go there tonight for a little guest spot, a little 7 minutes.
Gonna be a good one.
Now I'm wondering. Maybe I'm gonna do some, you know, some of the newer stuff. You know, what I want to do anything else. Anyway, that's tonight.
perfect venue for that.
Now, I don't know if you're a Game of Thrones fan.
I am not.
But Game of Thrones came out last night.
Ed Sheeran was on it, I heard.
Yeah, and he was horrible. He's a horrible actor. You know,
some people look good. That's about it.
To me, this kid doesn't even look good. This kid looks like the bag boy at Publix. I mean, you know, come on, let's be honest with you. It's, you know, I mean, the guy's talented. Although his songs to me are irritating.
They're very irritating, but catchy.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the guy's the media, like, obviously, you know, you can't question somebody's when they're going to make this much money, but and be this big.
Don't get me wrong. My version of his songs are horrible, so it's, yeah. I can't.
Well, I hear, like, you know, I want your body, you know, whatever that song was. I remember sitting in my office, and our office manager sits and listens to that certain pop station. And so I'm sitting in my office, and I heard that song like 18 times in a matter of 4 hours on the same radio station. I'm like, I hate this song. Fuck your body. But getting back to, listen, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, and I can tell you.
100 stations on this radio?
Yeah. I could tell you that I was excited because the beginning was great, and again, if you're what do you call that, an alert? I'm not. I want to. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell. I'm going to say what? But
spoiler.
A spoiler alert. One of the characters are on there. One of the opening scenes was great. I mean, I'm even looking at my wife saying, "I thought that guy died." You know, one of the guys who was sitting there talking, I thought this person killed that person, you know, this person was killed at the end of the season. And then all of a sudden you're watching it, and then it ends up, oh my God, this is fucking awesome. That chick's badass. You know, like, what a badass this girl's become.
It's, from what I hear, is one of the best shows.
Well, and then it kind of dragged a little bit, and here's the thing, though, going from like 12 shows to 7 or something, which kind of sucks. Yeah. You get to watch 7 weeks. And then you got to wait another year,
half a year, 7 months, 7 months for the next.
I don't want to say anything, but it's Arya Stark. Arya Stark. She's a badass. Just saying. It was great. And but that scene with Ed Sheeran, it was like comical. I was waiting for them to all break out of Pepsi, and it was going to be like a commercial.
It was good, yeah.
You know, it's like whoever's idea it was to get this guy on there just because he's singing a song with, they're all soldiers.
Right.
And they're sitting there singing a song. And Ira, actually, the same young girl, Star, comes on her horse, you know, and there's the soldiers from King's Landing.
And they're all singing.
He's singing. He's like, oh, I love your body. I love your body. I love your body. I wish they would get a little more to the times, you know, sing something. But no, like he's saying, he was singing some song, and they were, you know, and you're thinking, wow.
It's so amazing how.
It was weird because even Simon Cowell's in the bushes going, I want to hire him. But
believe him.
But he was just sitting there with this stupid look. And then there's a scene where they're at a campfire, and all you see is his face reflecting off the campfire. Meanwhile, the other schlep actors who've probably been acting since they were fucking 10. You know, are happy to be in the role. They got to share it with this fucking idiot.
This guy's making 3 times as much.
No, I don't want to get my Ed Sheeran fans. Oh, he's not an idiot. Look, he's a successful dude. Trust me. But, you know, I just, you know, congratulations. I can hear his song for about 10 seconds.
A 10-year extra sitting there going, I just want my SAG card.
Yeah.
He's in the...
he's in there singing.
He's at the SAG Awards giving away.
You know, you're a karate guy, but this was a great video. You got to pull it up, and it's a great story. My friend Steve Marshall, a comic, he showed me video from fights in New York, and they have these underground, not really underground, but these karate, all types of mixed martial artists, any type, will go to this place and they'll spar against each other. There was this one guy that said he was like a Tai Chi expert, and some MMA guy beat the shit out of him.
I saw
it. You saw that one. But, you know, to me, it looked like the MMA guy was like 28 years old, and the Tai Chi guy was like 85. 75 years old. You know, like, well, yeah, MMA is so much better.
That old man got hit in the face so hard.
He got cracked. But there's a new video. After KOing karate black belt in Vietnam, Canadian Wing Chun artist targets Chinese MMA fighter. Now, this is a good video. You got to pull this up. Just pull up... Wing Chun, Canada Wing Chun fight, MMA, you'll probably pull up the video. But this is a great, you know, this guy, and if a guy slaps his foot, it's like weird. He like slaps his foot and does his, you know, his fucking hand motions, you know, Wing Chun, you know,
Wing Chun.
And stuff like that. And, you know, I studied, like, one of my earlier
kick to the side.
When I was like 10, 12, from like 10 to like 12 and a half, 13, we studied under a guy that basically taught kind of like Jeet Kune Do. It was like a freestyle, but we did all the open hand blocks and block strike
sticky
motions.
Hands and
like
things.
Some of the best things that something like a Jeet Kune Do is it basically taught you that from when you do a motion of blocking, that same hand that is probably is really good to strike at that moment and then come through with some grab or some other technique. Yeah. But, you know, by the way, yeah, thanks, buddy. My brother's on watching the show.
We had a technique called the crunch technique.
Yeah.
So if you block with your forearm, your elbow's coming next. Then
you come in and step through. And nice.
Can...
Well, this is a great video. You got to watch it because it's funny. Weeks after police busted an attempted Tai Chi versus MMA mass brawl, another string of style versus style street fights has occurred, this time in Vietnam. And while the incidents took place thousands of miles from each other, they share a common connection. Zhu Zhangdong, who recently went viral by knocking out Tai Chi master Cheng Lu. The fisticuffs that took place in Vietnam are thanks to Pierre-Francis Flores of Montreal, Quebec, who visited Hanoi this week, hoping to prove the superiority of Wing Chun.
Canadian Wing Chun.
Canadian Wing Chun, which means you hit people with a maple leaf.
Eh?
Yeah, every time you hit him, instead of going, hi-ya! You go, eh? That's when you do Wing Chun. Eh? Eh?
Every
eh?
Eh? Eh? Eh? Eh?
But make a long story short, the Wing Chun dude beats the shit out of the Japanese karate guy. Kicks him even when he's down. He's about to get, he knocks him to the floor. He throws a low roundhouse kick. And hits the guy in the head. And then, but here's a cool thing. They went out after for dinner. Everybody all went out. Both
the guy
schools
that
all
had remembered that.
Yeah,
he make it up. He's like,
yeah,
no,
we're
all friends now. We're friends.
Yeah, yeah. He was eating through a straw all night. He got a ribeye. He got some Kobe beef, but he had to drink it through a straw. It's one thing of getting fucked up. That's one thing I don't miss about like I my teeth.
It's
like
fried.
I told you, I think like my dentist says, you know, why is your bite? Well, I said I was a fucking Thai boxer and I was trained for years. I used to get hit in the fucking mouth.
Right.
And I think, too, I cut corners. I mean, my mouthpiece, I just hate to put a whole mouthpiece in your mouth. So the back part wouldn't, you know, like it
you
wasn't as
cut
big.
Cut them down?
Yeah. So I think when I bit down, I pressured down the big teeth in the back. That's why it's weird. Wow. Nobody gives a shit about that.
Mouthpiece
calm down, dog.
Soft, though.
No. What are you going to do? Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And Ciro Dobrik's with me today.
How you doing, everyone? Thank you for listening.
Don't forget, I got a nice week of comedy this week. Tonight, I'm going to be at Scores in Palm Beach. Jen Hellman's Mike Vecchione's a headliner. I'm going to do about 5-7 minutes. It'll be a fun lineup if you're in the Palm Beach area. This Wednesday, I'm going to be at Tavolino's. We got a fantastic show at Tavolino's, Wise Guys Comedy Show. Your headliner, the phenomenal Al LaBelle.
What a great story.
Last comic to be on Johnny Carson. He's been on Letterman. He's been on Leno. He's been on, the guy's great. And he just happened to be in town to fill in from a fallout, which couldn't be any more fortunate. All for $10 this week on Wednesday. And then, by the way, I'm going to be in Orlando on Friday night at Bonkers Comedy Club in the Boardwalk Bowl Entertainment Center. I'll be your headliner on Friday night at Bonkers Comedy Club.
Bonkers.
In Orlando. So I'll be around a little bit. And then I'm taking the wife to go watch some professional soccer at the new Orlando Stadium.
Who's playing?
It's PFG, which is the French team. Am I right? Versus Tottenham from England.
Okay.
So it's like one of these all-star league stuff. So I'm a soccer guy. Sorry. Some people say, oh, soccer sucks. Which, by the way, you know, one of
is that a video you posted of the goal or was it a picture of you?
That's
being a
goalie? Yeah, the picture of me in high school.
Very cool.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, guess what? We're going to do two segments today, and we'll be back with the second segment, which we'll call What You Need to Know and Straight from the Headlines. We just put them together. What the fuck? Anyway, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jose Sardui, and you are listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Or as my dad would say, this is Jose Sardui, and you listening to the Wake Up with Dougie late show. He wake up late? Is he lazy? I don't understand. Okay, bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
little power station for you here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's Monday afternoon at Danger Studios. Cyril Dobrik's by my side.
What's going on?
And this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. By the way, don't forget we're on Bub Army Radio on Saturdays and Sundays from 4 to 6. And I got to hang out at the studio on Friday, and it was good to hear that a lot of people like us over there. And I don't want to say anything, but they've kind of asked me if I wanted to move to Tampa and have a show on Friday.
Then you agreed?
Well, I can't move to Tampa.
Oh.
How am I going to move to Tampa?
Too many things.
Yeah. Honey, I'm going to go to Tampa every week on Fridays. But that is kind of tough, too, as a comic, too, because it's like, I can't take Fridays weird because maybe out of town.
Wow. You know?
Well, my nephew Anthony's watching. What's up, buddy?
You never know, though, if the money's right.
Well, there's no money. I mean, that's the thing. It's one of those things where if you develop a following, all of a sudden now you got sponsors. You know, you get a couple of sponsors that could pay me to live there.
Mm-hmm.
I will go there on a Friday. You know, maybe the infrastructure could be built and there could be a train, like a high speed train that could take me from Fort Lauderdale.
They are building that.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale to Tampa in an hour. That would be a no-brainer. I would just commute. I would commute. If I could take a train in an hour and get to Tampa, I would commute. See? If we could get this government to start doing shit, my life would be different. I'm like the hooplehead that blame the pharmaceutical companies for making me addicted to drugs.
And you know it's not even them. It's the Russians. So
it's all the Russians' fault. By the way, also, we lost a great actor, Martin Landau.
Oof.
That guy was awesome. Great actor. What a character. I mean, that guy was tall and menacing. You know, he always had that bad guy look.
Always. But didn't Walking Dead guy or...
A stuntman died on there.
Night of the Living Dead guy, George Romero or...
Yeah. He also died a few days ago.
Something like that.
Whatever.
I remember the Stephen Crowder thing, though.
Right.
We're talking about the Canadian. He's Canadian. He's talking about the LGBTQ.
Right.
And then I didn't know that they actually added AAIP.
What's that?
I don't know. There are more groups of people that are in this LGBT community.
People
anyway,
that like doing
I
anal
thought
with
he
animals.
I thought he was kidding. Right. Thought he was kidding. LGBT AAIP because he's Canadian.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Hey, speaking of real things, we usually like to talk about things you need to know, and we're going to stick to things you need to know at the moment. But Elon Musk, you know, the guy from Tesla.
Pulling out of all agreements with Trump.
Well, he didn't want to be part of the committees that sit down and stuff. And, you know. But he says we need to regulate AI, artificial intelligence. He's a little concerned about, you know, just everybody going nutsy with the fucking artificial intelligence.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Well, look at normal intelligence. We need to... We need to rate that too.
Yeah,
but.
Normal intelligence is getting dangerous for some people. I mean, it's like, think about it this way on a much smaller scale. Like, it's typical. Like, I don't care what comedy scene you live in, but if you're a comedian and you have been in a comedy scene in your local neighborhood, I think it's pretty much goes to say that there's a lot of comics that when they start, when they first get knowledge of, oh, I just realized that if I do this, oh, you know what? I can't believe if I do this, you know what I mean? If
mm-hmm,
I stop,
mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden they feel like they're the only ones who ever figured it out. And they start sharing with everybody. And you're like, duh, you know, listen, tell the guy who's been doing it less time than you. Don't
right.
come to a comic who's been doing it for 2 or 3 years and saying, hey, you know, I can't believe it. But did you realize, yeah, we know, you fucking idiot.
That is part of the path.
That is what we all been, you know. People are asking about writers' meetings. I think these are probably something like that. Little gatherings are probably even more powerful than just writers' meetings. Like, I wouldn't mind getting part of a group, and if you sit around and anybody wants to go there to better, you know, just to kind of shoot the shit and share thoughts, and you know,
right.
you know, that way maybe nobody's going to do drugs and fall off a stage. But Tesla and SpaceX chief executive Elon Musk has pushed again for proactive regulation of artificial intelligence because by the time we are reactive in AI regulation, it's too late. The machine's ready won.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it seem like that? I mean, you watch something like the movie The Terminator, and now you watch real life what's kind of going on. Yeah, I mean, if you're a manual laborer in this country, you're fucking Terminator's here.
Yeah, it's been here for a while. But now they're enforced... rolling them out
right.
in much more
companies capacity. Are companies are going to survive one way or the other, and if you insist that certain levels of labor, you know, listen, I think the bottom line is the minimum wage has to go up. Anything in progress based on levels has to maintain a certain average, and just figure that number out. But what's happening is that you put a value on something, and somebody can easily put something together that replaces you. And look, no, not everybody. This isn't just a blue collar in arena. As a financial advisor, you know, there's now the supercomputers that are going to manage money. BlackRock, the company BlackRock, financial company, one of the largest money managers in the world, has been big about reducing with their ETF fees, which is basically a basket product, to make it to sharp it down to like hardly anything, just to win the bit. Like this is just like somebody's like gas gouging. Like somebody says, I'm going to bring it down here. They get the cut. That's what these money managers are doing. Say, look, I'm going to, and they're going to get a computer to run the money instead of these guys have been, you know, went to college, spent $200,000 to go to Ivy League schools to manage money. They're going to be replaced by Watson.
You know, it's the technology is definitely there, but I think with money and those kind of things, it's more of a personal.
I don't know, but I would tell you, as somebody who's in this industry, the millennials, you know, they who think they know everything anyway, you know, put them in front of a computer. Oh, I just, you know,
yeah.
And you know what? And here's the thing: I agree with especially at an early age, the only thing that really matters in any financial plan for anybody is just putting the money away. That's 90% of the battle right there. If you're in your 20s and you want to be successful and financially independent at an earliest possible age, the key is just putting money away on a regular basis. As a percentage, like you give 10% to the church, you give 20% to yourself, and then you live off the difference. Remember, the government's going to take about 20% of that. Unless you want the government to pay for college, unless you got the government to guarantee everything, then the government's going to take 50% of that.
Wow.
So think about that. If you want to maintain a certain lifestyle, you got to take 10% to your church. If you're not religious, then put 10% to save you from going to hell fund. And then you got to take about 20% of that money for yourself, right?
Yeah.
So now you're at 30, right?
And
then the government's going to take 30.
30 to 50, depending on which
right.
situation
where
you're at.
So you're at 8. So you get 20% to live on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I'm not, that's why I don't really care for the government to be in all my shit. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not.
If I could put together a health care plan right now, it would just cover me from accidents. I'd want something to cover me from getting hit by a truck. Right, whatever, some unforeseen mm-hmm. accident, and catastrophic, you know, the big one, cancer, any, you know, anything like that. I just want that. But as for X-rays and stuff, I'll pay 50% of it. You know, if I could pay $100 a month in coverage, then I definitely want it. You know,
if they could just make X-rays as expensive as it should be, or right. you know what I mean, take the price out of what it is and go, oh, I'm paying for a picture, I'll go half.
Maybe we should have an app. Maybe we should just get an app. Once we get an app for our, that's what. Hey, Apple wants to save the world. Come up with an app that does like a does a pap smear, right? Does a prostate exam? Like maybe you hold up the
that would hurt.
No, you just hold up the fingerprint thing, and just put it right up to your butt. You know, you actually, you know, you may have to just. You know, I'd rather have a phone there than my doctor's finger.
Yeah.
Listen, there's all kinds of things that could possibly happen in this world before we know it. But Elon Musk, what you need to know is Elon Musk is concerned about artificial intelligence. And I would tell you the same. I would tell you the same thing. I've been trying to drive more without my navigation more, just so I don't fall asleep at the wheel.
Would you ever see that movie Eagle Eye?
I've heard. Yeah,
it was Shia LaBeouf. Whatever.
Yeah.
But the computer takes over and then starts directing all the Secret Service intelligence agencies, everything around, to kind of attack each other and destroy itself.
Wow.
You know, it's possible.
Right. You never know. Well, like I just said, tech may replace half of all low-skilled jobs in the U.S. This is a report today. So, you know, here's a reality. Like I said, there's a lot of people in this country because a lot of people come to this country for the opportunities that are given, right? There's a lot of people everywhere. So the only way that you're going to make it above, you know, like in any situation, is you got to somehow rise above the rest. You've got to bring value. You got to bring – who's the guy, Richie, the guy that met the music producer that's with Dr. Dre on that HBO special now, Minervini? What's not Minervini?
No.
The guy – trying to remember him anyway. He's he basically names. He says, you know, make sure you're bringing value all the time. In any relation you got, is that your stomach, dude?
Yeah.
Wow. What'd you do, man? What'd you need? A trash can?
Didn't eat.
You didn't eat.
Wow.
Dang. It's amazing.
I couldn't believe it. The first one, I'm like, ah, no one.
I thought it was thunder. I was looking out the window. Tech may replace half of all low skill jobs in the U.S. Ball State University cites another study about the Rust Belt. We found a toxic brew, said CBR Director Michael Hicks. Automation is likely to replace half of the low-skilled jobs, and roughly one in four of all American jobs are at risk right now because of a machine.
Well, thank God Donald Trump's going to bring jobs back.
Well, that's the thing. This is a recipe for bad things, because what's happening is there's more and more people that are have been growing into this pool of uselessness, mm-hmm. right? That's what it is. It's a pool of uselessness because they've given up the fight. And so, look, it's almost like as a comic, you know, sometimes comics like, I'm at the challenge now in my 10th year. It's like, I'm ready to write a whole new 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's now it's like, oh, here we go again. This is hard as when I started, I was starting over. I felt good. I felt comfortable with my act. Now I got to dig in deep and pull it out. Otherwise, I might as well just, what am I going to do? A touring little, I'm going to tour all over the country making $20,000 a year? No.
Nope.
I got to figure out. I got to move on. I got to make decisions. You can't just sit there and go, oh, this is fine. And then when all of a sudden you're in a bag of shit, you know, that's what you're dealing with every day. Like, well, what did I do? Why didn't I do something? Well, and here's the thing. A lot of times people around you will try to give you advice, but a lot of people are like, oh, don't tell me what to do. Oh, you know, I don't, what do you think? I don't know what I'm doing.
I know better than you.
Isn't it great when you try to give somebody advice and they respond, "What, you don't think I know what I'm doing?"
Or when you give them advice about stealing somebody's joke, they're like, "I didn't steal that."
Hmm.
Why would I say anything to you if I didn't hear it before?
Yeah. So if you're out there, guys, learn a trade, learn something for God's sakes, and don't learn how to fix VCRs
or Betamax.
Yeah. I can imagine some school coming out. We help people. We'll come up and pick you up. Remember that? That guy used to say that when you were in South. Have you ever lived in South Florida? It was like the ATI Technical Institute.
The ATT.
We'll come out and get you. How lazy? You know what I mean?
What are you doing right now? Watching this commercial? We'll be out in an hour.
Yeah. Well, this was interesting. Remember R. Kelly?
I do.
This is the guy that was accused of peeing on chicks.
13-year-olds.
Well, there's a story now. There's some parents of some young ladies that are concerned because their daughters have been locked up in his house for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd they let him go over there?
Well, you don't have much control over. Listen, as a stepfather of a young lady, you know, when they're 13, 14, they think they know everything. And who am I, you know, who are you to say anything to them? Keeping young, R. Kelly allegedly is keeping young women in sex cults, the parents claim.
Jeez.
R. Kelly is reportedly holding multiple women against their will in an abusive sex cult, according to a recent news report.
Nothing about that shocks me.
No?
No.
Well, I mean...
it's completely exactly what I thought.
It's not impossible, right? Like, these are starstruck girls. I mean, I don't know what this guy's ever done lately. Has R. Kelly written a song in the last 20 years?
He wrote one song that he split up into 9 parts
and
released it every week.
Concerned parents who haven't seen their daughters in more than a year, former members of the Trapped in the Closet singer's entourage, told BuzzFeed that Kelly keeps a group of young women in his homes in Atlanta and Chicago, where he controls every aspect of their lives.
Well, that was the name of the song, Trapped in the Closet. You don't think he's going
to live it up to it?
Real life.
My art turns into life. The 50-year-old allegedly films his sexual encounters with these women, and all the women are legal consenting age in the report. You have to ask for food. You have to ask to go to the bathroom. The singer's former personal assistant from 2013 and 14, Cheryl Mack, said, Kelly is a master of mind control. He's a puppet master. I mean, think about it.
He's a snake charmer. He's a...
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, maybe we should send this guy to North Korea instead of the worm.
The worm.
Right?
Well, the worm has done wonders for our country.
Yeah, he's a valuable asset. We should send him over to ISIS. That should be our next thing. You know, Trump should mess with him.
You want to help?
Yeah,
Trump, over here.
Trump should mess with him and say, "Listen, we really need you now, Dennis. You know, we're going to send you to Islamabad, not Islamagood." Hey, calm down, God dang it. What do you think this is? Dog's freaking out.
Doing radio here.
Try to do a show. You're outstaying. You're welcome, damn dog.
First it's my stomach, now it's your rolling around.
One of the women in question is a singer from Georgia was contacted by police at her parents' request for a well-being check. She reportedly told the officers that she was fine and did not want to be bothered. Since 2000.
Being okay.
You want me to get you a sandwich, bro?
That's crazy, isn't it?
When's the last time you ate, man?
Last night.
That's why my dog's going nuts. He thinks there's another dog in here somewhere.
I apologize.
Let's see. Since 2000, Kelly has been at the center of numerous allegations of sexual misconduct involving minors, with dozens of women claiming that the singer ruined their lives. A videotape of Kelly allegedly having sex with a 14-year-old surfaced years ago. This is when he's pissing on her.
He peed on her.
Sick bastard. Why didn't the cops just show up there? Wink twice if you need help.
Is it Georgia is the state this is happening?
Georgia and Chicago.
Oh, well.
He's got bitches and hoes in different zip codes.
Hoes in different zip codes.
Yeah.
See, he took Greg Giraldo's advice. I don't want a woman. I want bitches. Bitches yeah. don't have moms.
Mm-hmm. Asking questions. So, I don't know. We get to. At any rate, it's that time where we're going to have the straight from the headlines. Ding, ding.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. This is a part of the show where we talk about stuff that's happened around the world and make fun of it. We usually do a separate segment. That's why we're so ill-prepared. Try to figure out the situation. Isn't that great?
Right. We're trying something new.
That's right. But these are stories that, you know, you have to laugh. You know, for example, flatulence forces passengers from jet. Now, I've been on a plane. I've talked about on the show. I've been on a plane where somebody shit themselves. We were leaving New Orleans Air, basically. We had to land in Pensacola because the guy sitting next to me.
New Orleans
I got bumped to first class, man. I got to sit next to shit pants. He was blaming a fat guy for the smell before we even took off. He's like, "Oh, somebody's ripping it in here." I'm like, "Yeah, it's pretty strong." He goes, "I think," and he pointed at this poor fat guy, white fat guy sitting in the front seat, the first row, in first class.
Recirculated air.
Yeah. And I'm like, and then it got worse and worse. And then he eventually walked away, and it turned out he shit all over the bathroom. We had an emergency landing in Pensacola. Passenger passed gas, forcing everyone from a plane at Raleigh International Airport Sunday afternoon, according the news. Passengers suffered nausea and headaches throughout the ordeal. Man, that's some stinky fucking farts.
What did you eat?
Jeez, goodness.
Pure garlic.
I don't want you to start thinking about food. Then your stomach's going to get nuts again.
Unbelievable, right? I cannot even believe it's going that crazy.
Yeah.
But
I remember when I was single, I was dating this girl and I broke up with her because she farted on a plane so bad. No, I'm serious, dude. I was on a plane with this girl and she was stinking. Like, people were looking at me. The people up front were turn around looking at me. They're not going to look at this little girl sitting next to me.
But she was just
ripping like a. She thought it was funny. He's like, Then we're in the car on the way home, and her brother and her sister and her brother in law came to pick us up. And I was like, I was in the back seat. Guess what I was doing? I was just ripping them. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "What are you kidding?"
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Never going to see you again. I remember I saw the girl after. She goes, "I don't know what happened. Why did you stop seeing me?" I said, "You can't figure it out, stinky ass."
Because we're going to blow up if we're hanging out.
Never going to be around you and your fart. Anyway, passengers suffered that. Once passengers were removed from the flight, an airport spokesman said the investigation quickly ensued on what caused the stench. Short time later, investigators said the incident was a medical call and turned all questions over to the local. Somebody must have shit themselves.
Had to have.
Or somebody had a colonoscopy. I actually lost somebody on Facebook when I talked about this on Facebook a couple years ago when it happened. I'm thinking that there's a particular person that was like a real big fan and friend, mm-hmm. like all of a sudden unfriended me, and they made a comment on the post and they were gone. And it was like, did that person have a colonoscopy bag and was offended because I said this person probably had a colonoscopy bag and it ruptured? Right. And, you know, I mean, so if you're in that situation, you feel bad for the person, but fuck. Might get, you know, flight got a different. I mean, of course you feel bad for the person, the embarrassment. I mean, think about that.
You weren't saying it to be mean. You were just saying.
It's a shitty situation.
Yeah.
Just saying. People are so touchy. You know?
That's one situation you don't want to touch.
No. Definitely want to touch no dookie. Here's a cool story. One Ohio couple, more generous than they intended. This is always, stories like this always amaze me. Of how this actually exists, but basically a family went to give some clothes to Goodwill or something. All right, they just put, you know, some, my wife makes me do that every once in a while. I just clear out the closet and all the clean out the clothes and just give it away, give it away, give it away now. Goodwill workers found a bag full of $100,000 and a donated box of clothes. Workers returned the money to the donors, who didn't realize they had included their down payment on a house.
Wow.
Now, who the hell?
How do you not know that you put $100,000?
Well, here's the real thing. I've bought a few homes and properties in my life, and I've never put a down payment in cash. It's always been at a closing.
Right.
Where's the money at? Where's it going to be drawn? Right?
Through bank.
Or you get a cashier's check. You know, you don't show up with $150,000 down payment in cash.
Depends on what kind of house you're buying, I guess. Is it a grow house? It's definitely all cash then.
Let's see here. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep. An Ohio couple was more generous than intended at Goodwill. They gave away a box of clothes. In that box, Goodwill workers found a duffel bag. And in the bag was money. Workers first thought it must be play money, but it was real. $100,000 tossed in apparently by mistake. Goodwill tracked down and returned the donors. That's Goodwill
Yeah. Great karma in that world.
And somebody says, finders keepers. If they put it in here, they must have meant to give it to us. Workers first thought, yeah, blah, blah. And say, by mistake, Goodwill tracked down and gave their money back.
What?
They said it was their down payment. Now, I get maybe, let's say they're like, maybe she's a stripper. Right. You know, so she has a lot of cash, and maybe he's a bartender or something, or vice versa. Maybe she's a bartender. He's a stripper. I don't want to be sexist. Right. Or let they're at a cash business somehow and they just save cash. You know, that's the way they don't trust the banks.
Right.
They say, you know, just keep throwing the money in the duffel bag when you come home from getting on the pole, honey.
Maybe he owns a parking lot where people go to the beach and they park their cars for cash.
Yeah. So he's like $6 an hour. Something like that. He just takes cash. So that's why he has all that cash. It's amazing. So I had a client of mine when I had an office near Hallandale, and this woman, she was cleaning out, her husband had passed, so she was cleaning out stuff in the house.
Right.
She found like $190,000 or $200,000 in cash in a suitcase up in the attic.
Wow.
And I went, well, next time you need somebody to help you clean the house, you know.
Speed down.
I mean, people do that. You know, older people would do that. They'd hide money in a bed. They hide, you know. So these people and these hoarders and these old people that die with nobody around, these people come in to clean the house out, they end up finding all kinds of shit.
In Hollandale in the 50s and 60s and 70s was gangland.
Hmm. Now, here's something. Again, we're talking about people that make silly mistakes. They don't feed the kids right. Everybody wants this. And an Oregon woman, an Oregon mom, arrested for towing three kids in a red wagon behind her car.
Wow.
Get your friends on the little red wagon. Get the rope. Tie it to the bumper. An Oregon woman is facing multiple charges after she allegedly towed her two young children and another child in a plastic toy wagon tied to her vehicle on Wednesday. Alana Donahue, 27, is charged with three counts of reckless endangering. Springfield police say she is accused of towing her two-year daughter, four-year-old son, and eight-year-old nephew around a roundabout. They got a photo of it. She's driving like a Ford Taurus station wagon. And she's got can you imagine?
That's actually how I pictured it so far. Red wagon, Ford Taurus.
Authorities say the witnesses reported that a woman towing three kids and that Donahue drove as fast as 30 miles per hour. This is a this isn't like a red wagon, like the metal ones.
Uh-huh.
It's worse. It's like a plastic one with those little
plastic wheels.
Yeah.
Man.
A witness reported that the toddler began crying after the wagon went up on two wheels during the trip, and the mother screamed, "Don't be a pussy!" Same witness report observing Donahue pull over and move the toddler from the wagon to the car and then continue driving with the four-year-old and the eight-year-old still on the wagon. Donahue confessed to towing the kids and claimed that to have been traveling 5 miles per hour. Given the time of day, 5 o'clock, it's busy. At 5 o'clock.
Really? They couldn't even do it at like 12 noon or something?
Let's do it right at rush hour.
That was definitely...
I mean, this was...
That was a punishment. That wasn't her being cool.
The mother of the year here. I mean, see, but she's only 20-something years old.
What happens when the timeout doesn't work anymore?
The mother is 20-something years old, so she's just trying to be a cool mom. So the kids probably said, "Mom, let's try this." And she's such a dopey, let's do it. I can go slow enough. It'll be fine.
It goes back to the addiction to opiates and Vicodins.
That would be like getting my parents when I was like 6 years old, 5 years old, before they drive away, let me tie my big wheel to the back of your car.
There's no way. No way. What's I had one of those electric motorcycles when I was little.
Right.
Yeah. That wasn't outside. Right. That was inside the house, little 5x5. Go ahead. Ride around. Do what you have to do.
I mean, you know, this is a 20-something-year-old parent. She thinks it's okay. They should give a drug test to those kids, by the way. I guess I bet you they have weed in their system.
Most likely.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
Or Molly.
Anyway. Hey, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Thank you guys for listening.
I want to thank Ciro for joining me today.
Thank you, Dougie.
And don't forget, big week of comedy. Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's. Al LaBella is your headliner. And Brett James is our featured comedian. I'm your host. And like I said, Friday, I'm going to be in Bonkers at the Broadway. Or is it Broadway? I think it's Broadway Bowling Alley, whatever it is. Boardwalk Bowl in Orlando. I'll be headlining in Bonkers on Friday night in Orlando. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates of shows coming up. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Follow the show at Wake Up Dougie and join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. How about you, Ciro?
Check me out at Ciro Comic or YouTube, Ciro's Dobrik's Comedy Circus.
There you go. Thanks for listening, guys. Tomorrow in the studio, Peter Leonard and Elgin David right here in the studio. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back tomorrow right here at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Through the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of